Awesome, guys. So good to see all of you here this morning. And before I speak, I just want to make an announcement concerning our marriage enrichment course called Date Night, starting on Tuesday the 14th. It's going to be in Melkbos because, as I think all of you know, we're going to be extending this building. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be able to put quite a few more hundred people in. It's R1,000 a couple because it includes meals. You don't want to go on a date without eating, hey? And you can pay it over 2 months and includes the material as well, of course. So you go onto our website under View Groups and you can make that booking. Awesome. Guys, our Peacemaker series. I have to be honest with you. I felt this has been quite challenging, haven't you? Because it's crazy, we live in such a complicated world, don't we? But I wanted to start off by mentioning one of the prayers from the Lord's Prayer. And I don't think we give enough attention to it. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's quite a prayer. Because you see, in heaven, relationships are perfect. Everybody is so in love with God and with people. Every single issue that you ever had will be sorted out, and there will be this perfect love. But of course, in this world where I think conflicts got worse, do you agree? And from global to the family. And I just think sometimes getting up in the morning and going to school or going to work from conflict and then maybe going into conflict, it's quite a thing, isn't it? But I just have such a strong sense from God. He's saying, we can pray. May your relational will be done here on earth as in heaven. So I want you to be encouraged. You see, when conflict gets bad, we like to withdraw or retreat from the heat of the battle, don't we? Let me just get out of here, go for a run, go to gym, or just eat food or whatever it is. And even those of us that love conflict, any of you love conflict? You just love a good old fight. Come on, put your hands up. Nobody here. We're all just phlegmatic. You don't like having to sort it out. And it's like you're placing your head in the lion's mouth. I've got a picture there. You think, no way am I going to try and sort this out. I'm just going to get my head bitten off. Okay, but I want to start off with, because it is kind of a challenging subject, that I believe God wants us to have a vision for peace. So you might say, in my family, I can't even imagine us all loving each other, but God can. And I think everything starts from a vision because you put faith into your vision. And there is a belief and knowing that that's God's perfect will. And I'm going to start off by reading a passage. Paul was writing a letter to the church at Corinth. In the second letter, chapter 5, he says this: so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Guys, you've got to understand how important that is. It doesn't matter how badly you think that person's behaving. God can and will change them. It's so and so important to know that. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. In other words, Paul, amongst others, had a really bad view of Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. And it's this whole big thing of change lives, changing lives. All of us can be changed because the Holy Spirit makes us into a brand new person. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Guys, if you're wondering what ministry you've been given, it's reconciliation, okay? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And that's tough, eh? Not counting people's sins against them. It requires a work of the Holy Spirit. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He says, here it is, reconciling people to God and people to people. Can we accept that this morning? That you have a ministry of reconciliation. And I think following on that, if God ever calls us to something, He's going to equip us. Because there are times, I'm going to be honest with you, I've thought there's no way that I can sort this problem out. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to leave it. Have you ever done that? Just leave it. One day we'll start talking again. Eh? Let's phone each other up as if nothing happened. We feel that there's nothing we can do. But you've got to understand, God equips us, and that's what we're going to be doing for most of the message. We're going to look at five ways we can follow a process that I believe will bring us to a lot more reconciliation than we have at the moment. One of the greatest examples in Scripture of forgiveness and reconciliation is Joseph. And he was a young son, and he was very confident. God's call was on his life, and he saw these dreams, had these dreams, and his brothers kind of hated him. Ever been in a situation with a sibling where you just think, why am I in this family? Why, God, did you put her or him in my family? You know, it's the thing I'm going to ask you when I get to heaven, God. I want to know. And so what they did, no brother should ever do this. They kind of threw him in a pit, and they were going to kill him. And then they said, no, let's sell him as a slave. And this poor young teenager is put in irons or whatever it is, taken to Egypt, sold as a slave. Then just for being good and not having an affair with the slave owner's wife, he gets thrown into jail. And it's quite a long story. But in the end, because his attitude was right, because his heart was right, God elevates him, becomes the prime minister. And that sounds like a fairy story. But you know what? God can and will promote us if our hearts are right. If in the difficult situation we stay right with God and with people, and then what happens is God gives them a plan that for 7 years they need to save food because it's going to be 7 years of complete drought. And in that drought situation, his brothers end up coming to Egypt because they've got no food, and they meet up with him. And he's quite good to them, but then their dad dies, and they think, oh my word, now this guy's going to cut our heads off. And they were so scared, and so they sent a message to Joseph saying, please forgive us, we'll be your slaves. So I'm going to read his response from Genesis 50. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves, they said. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? Please don't say that to your parents, because there is godly discipline. Okay. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. Guys, that's an incredible visionary approach. He was able to look at this from a different perspective. He brought me to this permission so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Awesome, isn't it? I want us to have a look at this process, but I'm just going to mention something Paul said in Galatians, and then we're going to read what Jesus said. What he said in Galatians was, if another believer is overcome by sin, remember, all of us at any stage can be overcome by sin. He said, those of you who are spiritual or mature or godly, depending on what translation you read, he said, help that person back on the right path, always making sure that you don't fall into the same temptation. Because someone can do something, maybe you've never done that, and you just think, oh my hat, how could you have done that? And you can become judgmental. And he said, no, just be careful. Always do it in grace with lots of mercy. Amen. So let's read what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. You've got to understand, he was speaking to a wide variety of people, a lot of religious leaders, just the man in the street. And what he does is he establishes a higher level, a level of commitment to God and people that actually requires the Holy Spirit. It's not just normal. And this is what he says. in Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's quite serious, isn't it? If you're judgmental, then God's grace and mercy will actually disappear in a sense, and you will be judged like the way you've judged others. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank? I don't know how a plank fits in your eye, but anyway. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly. And guys, my message is about seeing clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So guys, how should we approach conflict? Things that you know that you need to sort out. And that's why when Jesus speaks about resolving conflict, he says, go to the person. He doesn't say, tell all your friends. Get them on your side. Get their sympathy. He says, go to the person. And that in itself can be quite scary. So this is what I'm suggesting. Firstly, establish truth. Remember, there's truth and there's facts. The facts might be that this thing is toxic. The truth is God causes all things to work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. That you may not have started this conflict. You may wish you were born in another family. You may wish you had never taken this job. You may wish you didn't live in a country with conflict. I don't know. But you have to know that if you've given your life to Christ, he will turn these things for good. When I was an article clerk, I don't know what it's like now, to be an attorney, you had to obey, you had to be a slave. I worked for this guy that I could only describe as a relative of Hitler or Putin, funny enough. I don't know if he had Russian origin. This guy half killed me. I had to do all his work. I remember going into that office on Saturdays. It was like spooky, all the lights out, and doing my own work and feeling very sorry for myself. But you know what? It had massive benefit to me. I learned so much that I would not have learned if this guy had been easy on me. So I want to say this. There is good, right? Because when you recognize that, you can have a good approach to sorting conflict out. Okay, let's move on. Secondly, with faith in the power of God. Guys, I don't think we have enough faith in the power of God. You know, I remember the days when how would you see God's power? It was always physical healing. And by the way, I've been healed of some crazy things in my life. But I want to say this. Do we trust God to heal relationships? As Paul said, we no longer regard people from a worldly perspective. Change can take place. And so I think if we have faith, God calls us to pray or intercede. You can talk to your husband or your wife about the problem, or you can pray about it. We can intercede. And this is what John said in 1 John 5 verse 16. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, okay? What he's saying is that this person hasn't sinned against the Holy Spirit. And that's quite a big sin. So let's take that off the table. You should pray and God will give that person life. In other words, on the basis of your prayer, God will change the person. And this is how I always used to see it. When you are rebellious against God and you've got problems with God, remember that when you are in conflict with people, it's often a sign that you're in conflict with God. What happens is there's a wall that builds up between us and God. So God tries to speak to us and we can't hear him. What happens is when you intercede, you walk around that wall on behalf of that person and you stand in front of God and God listens to you. There's the wall and the person behind the wall. Is that picture making sense to you? Because of your prayer, God breaks that wall down and reaches into the heart of the person. I think we're not interceding enough. That Some of us are sitting here, there's conflict with parents, with siblings, kids, bosses at work. You're working for some of the most unfair and unreasonable people. Are you committed to interceding for that person? So I think if we can get those first two stages of this process right, things are going to change. Amen. Awesome. Okay. The question that Jeremiah asked, can a leopard change its spots? Actually, the answer is yes. We can. God will change the spots into stripes. Okay. So it's all a question of faith and trust in God. Third point, and this comes to the passage where Jesus was speaking. We must ask God for the wisdom to differentiate between godly judgment and judgmentalism or a critical spirit. You see, when our conflict causes emotions and tensions, that distinction is often blurred. You're not certain whether you're exercising godly judgment. That's why sometimes I think it's really good to find a spiritual friend or a mentor, somebody who's not in the middle of your situation, and talk to them, because one thing you don't want to do is to walk in judgmentalism. Amen. You guys all with me? It's because it's crazy. There was a song many years ago by Four Jacks and a Jill. It's a strange, strange world, Master Jack. So we live in a world that feels very vulnerable when it comes to any criticism. Even as a Christian, if you share the truth, people get very, very upset. They accuse Christians. It's something that kind of almost crushes people. But it's paradoxical, because those very same people will not tolerate any disagreement from you, and they'll rip you to pieces. So it's like, it's an unstable world that we live in. But as Christians, we have to calm down and say, you know what, I'm going to differentiate. With the wisdom of God, I'm going to get God to help me, because I want to walk in godly judgment. So you've got to understand, we don't avoid sorting problems out because we're afraid of being judgmental. We get God to show us the difference. So what we're called to do, and I know we don't always do this, is to humbly, quietly, and lovingly confront people. I think it probably applies a lot to parents, to school teachers, or to managers, where as a manager or a boss or a leader, maybe a church leader, you have to confront. But the purpose is always to bring peace, spiritual and character growth, and lasting change. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2, Paul says, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. So even when you have to correct someone, you did an encouraging way. So you guys with me? There is such a thing, and maybe even if it's your parents. If your parents are, you know, why don't you sit down with them and be humble and say, Mom, Dad, this is really hurting me. We can do that, can't we? Parents, you would allow your children to talk to you, hey? Long as they're humble and quiet, not shouting at you. Don't shout at your mother. Guys, these things are possible. And the problem is, we sometimes come from families where you are never allowed to speak. I know with my dad, if I look cross-eyed, he had a very thick, genuine leather belt that he took off. There was lots of thick leather, cowhide on that belt. And guys, it's not good. It can create generational conflict that is never resolved. But let's talk about judgmental behavior, because Jesus does make a point about it. Judgment or judgmentalism or criticism can be in the heart. It always starts in the heart. It can be in our thoughts and our words and our actions. So you might be saying nothing, but it's in your heart. And that doesn't help us. You see, our human nature is wired to be critical. I mean, goodness gracious, who would be a coach or a manager, even a player? Listen, if you want to play for Manchester United, you need to see 10 psychologists, because there's 100 million supporters that did not like the way you played on Saturday. Right? And great players fall apart, managers. So we actually have doctorates in pointing out other people's faults, right? We know exactly why the Springbok coach chose the wrong players. And that's the world that is natural to us. But we have to say, you know what? That's not God's way, right? And how many of you are perfectionists? You are never going to allow a speck of bread on the table. Any underpants thrown on the floor, oh my hat. Come on. You put your clothes away. You will end up in permanent conflict with your child. I must say, if Kelly hadn't got married, I think I was going to ask her to move out. That bedroom, it was just that deep with clothes. But interesting, isn't it? How I always believed that my house was not my castle. And we never changed furniture. We just had hundreds of teenagers everywhere, eating us out of house and home and all the rest of it. Sometimes I think as parents, we can just calm down a bit on the perfectionism. Eh? And the boss? Your boss is never happy. You know, my boss, we started work at 7:45. At 7:40, he waited outside my door. I mean, I was a qualified attorney doing great work, changing the world. But he wanted to know that I was there in the office. The fact that I worked all Saturday and Sunday afternoon didn't matter. So, guys, are we getting the point that we can differentiate, we can do it, between godly judgment and judgmentalism? I think it's always good to remember what you've been saved from, the price Jesus paid on the cross. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Right? Good? And I'm going to quote something. We treat people better than they deserve because God treats us better than we deserve. Right? Can I say that again? We treat people better than they deserve because God treats us better than we deserve. Can I move on? 3 points, 4 points. Number four, we must ensure that our spiritual eyes are fully open. We have to understand all the factors in a conflict. And we can only do that through the wisdom of God. We need actually the spiritual gifts of knowledge and wisdom and even discerning of spirits. And it's quite an interesting thing because even if you're in conflict with someone who's really behaving badly, maybe they're not a Christian, maybe they're your enemy, how you behave in that conflict is always about God's plans and purposes. Maybe that person who's your enemy, and God has got a plan for that person, will only come to Christ as the result of the way you handle the conflict. Ever thought about that? And that's why we have quite an interesting scripture. Again, sorry, it's Matthew 5. I had Matthew 7, 43 to 45. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. So God is saying, I will know that you're my child by the way you treat your enemies. And Paul says, take care of them, give them food. I mean, have any of you ever bought food for your enemies? My dad started off as this tool maker, machinist. He was a specialist with machinery and stuff. And the guys who hated God hated him, and they would go and break up all his work. And he would immediately go out and buy sweets and chocolates and cake, and he would go straight to them and give it to them. And they would go mad. But he said, one by one, as the years went by, all those people came to him when they needed God. So, right? You guys with me? That we need to know what God is doing. What is God's plan in this whole situation? So it was all about spiritual sight. God, give me sight, give me insight. Then the last point is that unusual point that Jesus makes. He says, take the plank out of your eye before you take the speck out of someone else's eye. And it's interesting in conflict how we can even see a plank where there's a speck. But I want you to think about it. If you need an eye operation or there's something in your eye and you go to the doctor, how many of you would be happy if the doctor was blind? And, you know, has this instrument. Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to puncture your eyeball. But you wouldn't like that, eh? You would want to know that you're going to the best. And that particular jolly doctor knows what he's doing. He can see. But it's the same with our souls. No different. If I have an issue that needs to be addressed in my life, I want to be counseled by someone who can see clearly, who has 20/20 spiritual vision, someone who demonstrates love and wisdom, someone who can see properly. And you know what this is? It's an application of one of the most important principles in the Bible. And I'm going to read Matthew 7, verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Interesting. God blesses us when we ask ourselves that question. How would I want other people to treat me in this situation? How would I want them to approach me? Guys, all with me? Glad you came to church. Okay. Even when we discipline a rebellious child or an employee, we still treat that person with dignity, the way we want to be treated. When we overact, you know, sometimes when we overact, have you ever overreacted? I have. I got quite a, I can get quite hot-tempered. Any of you? I sort of hold it in, and then whoosh. But you know, sometimes it's like taking a hammer and hammering somebody's eye. Because after we've smacked them with that hammer in the eye, they don't hear anything that you have to say, right? Even if what you're saying is the truth. So I think this is quite an important thing. Jesus says, take the plank out of your eye. Sit down. What role am I playing in this conflict? Am I seeing this thing the way I should see it? You know, our problem is our human nature. All of us are quick to excuse our own faults and failings over the faults and failings of others. We would never tolerate other people sometimes doing the things that we just do. That's human nature. So what I'm saying is we're making progress. I do believe we've prayed about it. We're trusting that God's going to use this conflict for good. We've differentiated between judgment now and being judgmental. We're working on this whole thing. We're asking God for wisdom because we want to see this thing properly. We want to find the right way to sort this out. And we then realize how important it is to always have a time of self-examination. And you know, when it comes to other people giving us feedback, there's always two things that work in exactly the same time. When someone gives you feedback, even if it's given very nicely, our nature is to defend ourselves. Okay? we want to be validated as the person we are. But at the same time, we want to grow and change. Okay, so someone comes to you with feedback. So take a deep breath. Because the first thing, we've got a lot of excuses. They might be good. She started it. He started it. It's his fault. It's not fair. Those kinds of things. I'm hurt. But I think when you go to address something, even kindly, kind of maybe let the defenses just run out first. Don't get quick. Don't jump in. If someone just, because they are naturally going to be defensive. Am I right? Then come in and build a constructive solution. So I don't know if I've helped you guys this morning. I'm just going to, let's just recap because we want to grow. I believe God is going to give us a lot of success. Firstly, believe that God will cause all things concerning this conflict to work together for your good. What others intend for harm, God intends for good. Can we trust God with that? Because there are people who want to harm us. Then intercede before God on behalf of those who have sinned in conflict, believing that God will radically change them. Thirdly, ask God for the wisdom to differentiate between godly judgment and judgmentalism or a critical spirit. Fourthly, we determine to gain insight into all the relevant factors that have led to the conflict. We must understand the person with whom we are in conflict the same way that God understands him or her. Then we must first remove the plank from our own eye before attempting to take the speck out of someone's eye. I wonder if we could just spend a few moments in prayer. Can I say this, and I can't remember if I've said it earlier. When we are in conflict with people, it's impossible to be in a really healthy relationship with God. And for some of us, there might even be generational conflict. And I want us to just first speak to God. You might say, well, Graham, this conflict I'm in is like, it's hopeless. It's been there as long as I can remember. But remember that we don't look at people the way the world looks at them. So I want you to spend a few moments in prayer, trusting God that he's going to perform a miracle in your life and in your relationships. Can we do that? Let's first just spend some time. Maybe you've got a plank or two. Say, Graham, we've all got planks. Anyone here think they don't have a plank? You can go through the side room and we'll repeat this message. Only joking. We have got planks. And we're going to humbly ask God. Let's just spend a minute or a few seconds in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we stand? I want to say this again. Because we're Christians, God has placed us in families, in countries, in places of employment. He's placed us there. You might say, I hate this job. God gave you the job. And I just want us to just have that understanding that we can pray, God, as it is in heaven, may it be here on earth. God, I want a bit of heaven in my relationships on earth. I trust and believe, God, you've placed me in this school. I'm in this place of employment. I'm in this family because you put me in the family. And God, I believe that you can use me to bring peace. Can you pray that? Because guys, more than you needing to have your blood pressure healed or your broken leg, we need to see miracles in relationships, and I believe God is going to give us breakthrough. Just want to, as I close, you know that you need reconciliation with God and people. Could you raise your hand and take it down? I just want to pray for you. Thank you, the hands, thank you. Thank you, many hands, 5, 6, 7. Don't be afraid. Please don't leave with a hopeless sense of that conflict. Jesus gives us hope. Thank you, there's another hand. And God's going to do a work. Lord, I just trust you, Lord, as there are hands everywhere, Lord. God, I believe in the power of your Holy Spirit and the love that you pour into our hearts right now. God, I'm asking you for the one thing that you want for us more than anything else is to be reconnected to you and people. God, I pray for a spirit of reconciliation. I pray for restoration of relationships that have been broken more than Humpty Dumpty. In Jesus' name, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's just pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross that I might be spiritually whole and that I may restore my relationships. Holy Spirit, please pour your love into my heart that I might serve you and love and serve people, that your perfect will be done. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. It's been a privilege and a pleasure.
Come on, can we just thank Uncle Graham one more time for a phenomenal message? Awesome. You might have been in this room today. You might have prayed that prayer. Or actually, you might have been challenged by today's message and you need some people to go on the journey with you. The rule is, if you're playing baseball, if you're playing softball and you hit a home run, you don't just run to the first base and stop, but you actually run all the bases. So if you guys can learn to look to your right, you'll see that there's a door open and you can head over there. We've got some prayer counselors and a prayer team that wants to pray with you and go on the journey with you. If it's your first time, I want to remind you that your free cappuccino is waiting for you at our Next Steps Lounge where it says God can. If you want to find out more information about View Groups or Growth Track, come join us there. And then you guys would have seen our new cafe area. We've extended out church. We did that so you can stay. We actually have some egg muffins on sale today. I had one earlier on and it will bless you. Best believe that. I promise you, an egg muffin with a cappuccino will bless your morning. So let's make sure that we get that after the service. See you guys next week.